All right, we're going to get started here, folks. All right, so I think this is kind of an appropriate third presentation this morning. So if you didn't listen to Doug, or if you didn't listen to John, you're going to have to deal with your insurance rates going up. So we've got Todd Johnson here from USI. We actually had a board member request this topic as we're looking, all of us dealing with whether it's medical or other rates going up, and a perspective on what we can do to understand how we can manage our costs in this area. So welcome, Todd.
Thank you, and good morning to you all. So there's been a lot of talk about safety and risk prevention. Makes good sense. My focus this morning is going to be a little bit on the nuts and bolts of what you can do to improve your picture. Unlike Don's earliest or first presentation, my guess is most, if not all of you, are unlike Scott's in that you do have claims. So a lot of my focus is going to be on what you can do about them. First and foremost, I come from Boston, so I have a little bit of a geographic disability. At the end of any word, in the middle of a word, if you hear "ah," I actually mean "are." So just please forgive me for that. Most importantly, in my discussion today, it really is all about claims. It's about prevention, mitigation, management of claims. You have control, especially in workers' compensation, you really have a lot of control over the ultimate costs. And you can drive the results if you pay attention to the details, you focus on the prevention that was discussed this morning from a safety perspective, and when an incident occurs, if you manage it properly and proactively, you can have a direct impact on your costs. So that's kind of the theme that I'd like to strike with you this morning. This represents a risk financing continuum. Most of you, as I understand it, are in what's called an experience modified or an experience rated workers' compensation program. And that's going to put you down here in that yellow circle. But what you have is a lot of alternatives that allow for creative thinking and better management of your capital commitment to workers' compensation insurance. Each one of those, as they move up the ladder, are different ways to finance your workers' compensation program, but they all come with greater risk and greater reward. The commonality among them all is to be successful, you have to have a strong risk prevention program. You have to have a strong safety management program. What I would offer to you is that each of them all come with a baseline. Generally, in the workers' compensation industry, we talk about 60% of the cost is associated with claims, and the other 40% or thereabouts is what either represents carrier profit, or if you begin to move up the ladder and retain some of the risk yourself, as opposed to turning all the risk over to a carrier, you begin to have the opportunity to retain some of that 40%, or if you're really good and aggressive, you can knock that 60% cost down and retain more than 40% over time. That's kind of the ideal. All of these are just variations on theme in terms of how you would potentially retain more and more of that risk all the way up to a captive situation where you literally are an owner of your own insurance company for your own risk. In most cases, we fall way down here at the lower end. There's less risk and less volatility, and it makes sense from that standpoint to pursue that. My company, USI, is a national company. We are one of the largest insurance brokers, risk management firms in the country. We have offices in virtually every state. We have about 4,400 employees. And all I want to do in this discussion today is just give you a sense of what I consider to be best practice from a workers' compensation perspective. In all lines of insurance, we deploy what we call the One Advantage. And the One stands for three areas that we focus on. The Omni is a proprietary solutions platform that we've developed internally. And it helps us to drive and identify some of the issues that are attendant with your respective insurance costs. The Network is really what I'd focus on today. And that's in each of our offices, we have embedded resources locally, and they're stitched together nationally for those of you who have multiple locations. And the Network is comprised of experts like casualty analysts, who are important in this discussion as I go further into it, claims advocates, and risk control specialists. And all of three of those disciplines, they are independent of the insurance carrier resources. They're adjunct to what you do internally and support your services if you were a client of ours. And that is important in a number of ways because it makes your risk management program portable and agnostic if you move from one carrier to another over time or 1 year to the next because of issues or rate. You have the ability to take your risk approach, your plan of action, and bring it with you. It makes it portable. So I'm not really concerned about USI's point of view, but what I want you to consider is your need for those resources, whether you have them internally in some of those components. Some of you have safety professionals on your team, but you may not necessarily have access to claim expertise. You want, in my opinion, to try to find that, whether that's outside resources or develop them internally or some combination of the two. So what I want to talk about is the experience mod factor. I want to slow down for a second because I think this applies to most of you. In 39 states, we are governed by what's called the NCCI. It's the National Council of Compensation Insurers. And they promulgate the experience mod formula. The other 11 states have either a combination of NCCI and their own, or they have exclusively a state-based process. It mirrors what NCCI does. I come from Massachusetts. Massachusetts is one of those 11 states that has its own rating agency. New Jersey, Pennsylvania are two of the others that I'm aware of. And essentially, they all follow the same process. It really comes down to who's the last word in your respective world. The focus from an experience rating perspective is pretty clear in that the last 3 years of your experience in workers' compensation drive your future premium. We do not count the most recent year or the year you're in because it's not mature. But if you look back, if you take a four-year window, take off the most recent, and look 3 years back, that's what's going to drive your future premium calculation with respect to an experience mod factor. The weight of the analysis is on the frequency of claims versus the severity of claims. Both are weighed in the equation, but frequency has much greater weight. So an employer who has 10 claims at $5,000 each is going to get hurt in the mod calculation more than an employer who has one claim at $50,000 or $60,000, because statistically the risk is greater that any one of those 10 $5,000 claims could explode and be an expensive claim. So the weight is heavily placed on the frequency as opposed to the severity of a claim. The process compares you as an individual employer against your peer group. So in employers similar to yours across the country, and the data is brought together and aggregated and analyzed in that manner. So your mod calculation is based on a comparison of your information against the performance of similar industry employers like yourself. Important to understand. There is what we call a cap. I talked about the frequency versus the severity. Within the context of the mod calculation, we have a separation of cost. On every claim, the first $16,000 is considered primary expected loss. And what that means is if you have a claim of $20,000, the first $16,000 is weighed more heavily in the equation. The remaining $4,000 is considered excess loss. It's not given as much weight. And the reason, again, it ties back to the frequency. So the first $16,000 of any claim are going to be a big piece of the puzzle with respect to your MOD calculation. Very important to keep in mind. For years, there was no change in the MOD formula. It used to be $12,000 as opposed to the $16,000. We just went through a process nationally over a period of 3 or 4 years where that was adjusted upwards. And that's a reflection of medical cost inflation and the driving up of those expenses had not been adjusted for in many, many years through this process. So if you were an employer 5 years ago and had the same record as you have today, your MOD would be higher because the $12,000 became $16,000 in the formula and drives the number up. There are state caps on the maximum that is counted in the equation on a claim. So as I mentioned, the first $16,000 is a primary loss. Any amount of a claim in excess of $16,000 is factored in at a lesser level, but there are state caps. So if you have, let's say, a $300,000 claim, you may be in a state where the maximum is $250,000. So the first $16,000 is weighed in the equation, and the difference from $16,000 only up to the $250,000 gets weighed into the excess losses at a lesser level. That $50,000 difference in the cap to the true cost of the claim is thrown out. It doesn't count in the equation. So those are kind of basic rules of play with respect to the experience MOD factor. The reason I mentioned earlier, it's important to have ability to do the analysis, the ability to do some claims review and claims advocacy when necessary, and some risk control is going to follow through this example of what I consider to be best practice in terms of reviewing and understanding your experience MOD. And it gives you the power to do something about it, and I'll show you that as we walk through it. So we do this a lot with our clients. Again, I'd encourage you to try to develop or create relationships that allow you to try to follow this same process. But there's a direct correlation between your MOD and your premium. So if you had a $100,000 premium and your MOD, a unity MOD of 1.0, you're at that $100,000. If you can move the MOD down by 25 points to, let's say, a 0.75, your $100,000 premium becomes $75,000. So it's almost, in many instances, a one-to-one relationship between a MOD point and a premium. And you should keep that in mind. This is what a MOD worksheet looks like, a rating worksheet. And the blue boxes represent the four areas that you need to pay attention to, or I recommend you think about when you are discussing your experience modification factor. And again, these are areas where you have a level of control. In essence, what we would do here for step one is an audit function. It's really about, is all the data accurate? Does everything make sense and tie down? So are your class codes accurate? Is your payroll reported correctly? Is the claim inventory accurate? Does it make sense? Is it all your claims? We see mistakes all the time. Are your reserves on those claims appropriate and accurate? Makes a big difference in the equation. I'll show you why here. So on the top box, the class codes, right here, you can see that there were some adjustments made through this audit process to the class codes. And that green box resulted, after that audit, in a $22,000 reduction in the class code calculation, which feeds directly into your MOD and your premium. So what you saw here is the code rate The ELR is the expected loss rate, which is set by NCCI or the rating agency for that specific code. The payroll in total, and then a correction in this case was $2,400 on that particular code, and we reduced it by $22,000. Reported payroll in the middle, same thing. This was overstated by $43,000 due to a miscalculation of overtime and executive compensation. Overtime is calculated in payroll as straight time for purposes of experience mod calculation. So it comes down to bookkeeping. You need to make sure that you're segregating your overtime, and when your payroll is audited and reported, you want to make sure that your payroll auditor or the carrier auditor is collecting that data correctly so that your payroll is not overstated for purposes of this calculation. Most importantly, with my background, is the claims side of the equation. So you can have claims that should be closed, that remained open in the data that's supplied by your workers' compensation carrier to the rating agency, and that's going to impact the result. Or you could have claims that should have reserve reductions. They've improved. The employee's getting ready to come back to work. The medical picture is a little different than it was 3 months ago. A lot of reasons can develop, and all of those lead to the question of accuracy of your claim count, the claim status, and the claim reserves. And that brings up, in my mind, the reason to have a claim professional teaming with you to make sure that that's accurate. So we do a deep dive into those claims, and we understand all of those claims so that we can best adjust and present the best picture as we go forward. In this case, we reduced the claims by $113,000. So the combination of those three areas to review changed the picture for this particular example markedly as it flows through the formula. Another area is to understand what the picture shows you as what's the best case scenario compared to where you are. So here you have in the graph, you have the current mod for the individual is 1.042, a little bit above one, a debit situation. The unity mod or average mod is one, so that would be you have you're starting off from scratch. And on this particular employer's industry, based on their codes and industry they're in, the minimum mod that they could achieve is 0.57. So the delta between their actual mod and the minimum mod becomes an opportunity for improvement. What can we get to? And that's what we refer to here on the right as controllable mod, which is the 0.472. There's a $95,000 savings opportunity for this employer if they could improve their claims and achieve something close to that minimum mod. But that's well within the realm of possibility based on the data that we see here. Most importantly, you need to know what it is. What is the realm of possibility? And if you don't have the ability to calculate the mod independent of the rating agency, then you don't have that target to look at. You don't have the target to shoot for. So again, having access to the technology and the analytics to get there is going to help you identify your potential opportunity for improvement. The next step that we take is to look at, I mentioned expected losses. So the green is the employer's actual experience, and the yellow is the expected loss of what their peer group in the industry should have had. As I mentioned earlier, we talk about a 3-year window. So there's 3 years here, and what you can see is the first year, the actual losses were better than the peer group, to the employer's credit. But in year two and in year three, they were fairly significantly higher. So in the 3-year window, 2 out of the 3 years, the peer group outperformed this particular employer. And what's important is to understand that from the standpoint of what is the problem? Where are the claims associated with the mod that are driving the increase or the adjustment upwards in the mod? And your mod will be recalculated every 12 months. So the next year, that oldest good year is going to fall out, and you're going to replace it with the current year. If your performance is better, that might help you. If it's not any better, or it's deteriorated, or more importantly, worse than the first year that we're losing, then your mod is going to begin to increase again. So it's important to identify where the claims are coming from and how you are compared to your peer group. Then we want to do a little bit more of a deep dive, because it really comes down, as I said earlier, to the claims. So now we want to understand, at the individual claim level, what is impacting your experience mod. And what you can see here is, I mentioned that controllable or opportunity for improvement of 472. These top three claims and the information associated with them is right here, equate to 0.329, or 32 points against that 47 points are associated with three specific claims in this example. So we want to understand and identify those claims and what about them are characteristics that we might be able to improve on. And that leads to some discussion potentially about targeted risk control or some of the safety and mitigation efforts or training if we have any trends that we've identified. But you want to begin to understand specifically the individual claims. And then from a cause of injury point of view, our analytics team can begin to cut the data a little bit more. So in this case, you can see that 82% of the losses are from falls. And then 7.7% are lifting, and 9.1% are from cuts. So it gives you a focus if you're going to begin to develop any kind of mitigation plan. We don't want to bring a carrier risk control professional on the scene and have them do driver training if the majority of your losses are associated with falls. We want to have targeted services that are specific to where it's going to have a direct impact on your mod calculation. So what we've done here is we've used the same process as the NCCI, or if you're in a state like mine where it's an independent rating agency, the same process, but we've looked at the data in a different way to give you a picture of what is driving the mod, more importantly, what is causing it, and what can we do about it. So the next slide is going to be more about what can be done. And again, we're using the same three disciplines of our analytics team, our claims advocacy team, and our risk control team to develop this plan of action with an idea of trying to take control of it. Our company has, as I said, all three of those disciplines on our team. What makes us a little bit different is they work in an integrated way. They're not working in silos, unlike some of our competition. And that allows us to develop what you'll see here. So this is a different way to cut the data. It's the same discussion as I mentioned a few minutes ago relative to frequency and severity. And what you can see here is that the number of incidents went from 27, and it went all the way up to 83 over time. And the incurred costs for lost time claims went from 26,000 to in excess of 321,000 in that same period of time. And you can see at the bottom that from a claim perspective, 13% of the claims were associated with lost time, but they were accounting for 90% of the cost. So it begins to, again, to refine the focus. Tell us what we want to do. What do we want to look at? We look at this again from a frequency severity perspective in a graph format from the standpoint of claim frequency and claim severity. And you can see the numbers that I just mentioned, 27 up to 83. And here it went from zero to 357,000 with a peak in 2013 of over $500,000. The light blue graphs are the reserves. There's still open reserves associated with the claims. And from my vantage point, that's opportunity for improvement. As I explained earlier, your reserves are a calculation of what's expected to be paid in the future on these claims. It's somewhat subjective. If we can improve the picture, those reserves will come down. And that means that the blue box associated with those two columns will also come down, because the 506 includes 191,000 of reserve. And the same applies to the last column on the right. So there's opportunity to improve the picture if we take some steps. Another way to cut this data, we looked at who's causing the claims. And in this example, it became pretty obvious. This, by the way, was a national restaurant chain, so not your industry, but they had never done an analysis like this, and they were hemorrhaging in certain parts of the country from a workers' comp perspective. So when we began to dig into this, they became a new client. We went through this process. And what you see, and they were not aware of this, was pretty stark information that the vast majority of their frequency was associated with employees with less than 12 months of service time. And it drops off the table, as you can see, for anyone who's been with them for more than a year. And the same applies from a cost perspective. The numbers associated with those claims went through the roof for employees less than a year on the job. So they had no idea that this was taking place. And it was somewhat revealing to them. And as we dug into the data, we started to build a plan around that. So cause of loss became the discussion. And this again is frequency severity by cause of loss. And you can see that cuts really is the frequency driver. Again, it's a restaurant, so there's a lot of kitchen related injuries. But struck by, whoops, you got some commingled numbers and letters here. But struck by was this leader from a cost or severity perspective. So it's $185,000 out of $340,000 in cost. So if we just rely on the frequency and we focus some prevention efforts on cuts, we're not necessarily going to get to really where the dollars are coming from. So we have to look at both of those things and understand that any one of those 37 cuts could become a quite expensive claim if not addressed properly from a frequency perspective. So another way that we look at this data is to look at the open lost time claims, because they tend to be the most expensive claims. And in this case, there were 10 open at the time. And we looked at that by state in the top here. And you can see that 5 were in Maryland, 4 Massachusetts, 1 Pennsylvania. Claims by cause of loss. So we have slip, trip, and fall, and struck by were the two leaders there. Incurred dollars by state. Massachusetts was 404, Maryland 302. And then you have total incurred dollars. And that is really the big winner on that is struck by and against. So it gives us some more data and information about focusing our efforts. This slide comes from the experience mod calculation itself. And it is reflecting the top 10 claims for this employer in that 3-year or 36-month window. And what you notice about them is that in this column here, incurred loss is the cost of the claim as of the date we did the valuation. In this case, the one in red was a $158,000 claim. And what we're able to do is, on a claim-specific basis, tell you exactly what the impact of that single claim is on your mod calculation. So we can dive down to that level. In this case, that one claim is 10 points on the mod. And you can see that in this example, they had a 1.01 mod, which wasn't bad. It's not great. It was going to increase to 1.28. And 10 points of that is associated with this one claim. Another important factor is the premium implications. So over the next 3 years, they're going to pay back $75,000 of that $158,000 against that claim because of the impact of the claim on your experience mod and the trail factor of repaying the cost of claims over time. In total, these 10 claims represent 39 points, just these 10. So if you begin to start to drill down and think about it, there's a lot that we can do. If we eliminated one or two or three of these claims, we could drive 39 points of increase down to some lesser number. If you look at the cause of loss, it also begins to validate some of the findings that we had in earlier slides about where were the losses coming from, and it ties back to where would we want to focus our efforts. So just a quick summary of what we found in that particular study was that one Maryland location accounted for 84% of the claims in the given year. So this is a national restaurant chain. They literally, we drilled down to one restaurant, was driving 84% of the costs in that 1 year. Slip, trip, fall, and struck by injuries represented 50% of the frequency of lost time claims. Cuts were 40% of the frequency. And as I mentioned earlier, new employees were generating 63% of the overall costs. So what are we going to do about it? And I'm not going to go through all of these individually, but what we try to do is develop at a high level, executive level, an action plan based on all of that evidence that we just accumulated. So first and foremost, out of the gate, no surprise to anyone here in the room, if Maryland was causing a huge amount of the problem, then we need to address that particular store or restaurant. And we need to get out there and perform some training and bring some resources to the table. Slip, trips, and falls, we are deploying body mechanics training, slip and fall prevention training, slip-resistant footwear, kitchen floor maintenance program, ladder safety was mentioned earlier today, a storage policy, the use of cut-resistant gloves goes to the cuts by injuries, new employee orientation program. So our risk control team would work with you as our client, as an employer, to develop and execute on all of that from a training perspective. Or perhaps what they would do is enlist the services of your workers' compensation carrier, because as you pay premium, many of the carriers will offer you access to risk prevention services. But unless you direct them or request that they target their services to a specific area, they're going to show up at your request and do a safety tour or offer you some literature that may not necessarily tie to where the problems are. So you want to focus on that and access those services. You've paid for them through your premium. They essentially are free from an additional cost perspective. But what we want to do is encourage you to drive the agenda, have a plan, whether that's built internally or with some external independent resources to focus that discussion and use of their professionals. And then ultimately, what we want to do here is put our money where our mouth is, so to speak, or give you a financial picture of what the implications of those action steps are. So in this case, I mentioned earlier, the mod was going up to a 1.28, and that was going to result in premium for this employer of $313,000. What we believe we could do safely, based on the identification of the issues that we saw and the trends that existed, if we built that action plan that I just briefly went through, and we executed on it with commitment from the employer, we believed in the first year we could reduce everything by 20%, the yellow line. And that would reduce the mod by 12 points and the premium by $30,000. and understand that that is just year one, and the cost of your claims follow for 3 years. So this is really a $90,000 impact potentially if we execute successfully on it. And that would have a significant impact on their bottom line. It frees up capital to buy the equipment that John mentioned earlier. It frees up equipment to hire more frees up capital to hire more employees. It allows for a lot of use of those funds in a different way, more appropriate way than simply bleeding. On the other side of the coin here is we have this discussion with some of our clients and prospects of you can sit on your hands and not pay attention to it and not do anything. But let's say you have one or two more claims next year and your claim cost goes up by 10%. Here's what it's going to show you. Your mod and your premium is going to increase by X dollars. So you can tie that back to your budget forecasting. You can tie that back to incentivizing your workforce. This was discussed earlier this morning about a safety culture. You can provide the evidence to them of what it means in hard dollars and how people can access those dollars for better purpose and better use. So those are two examples of how we do it. Let me ask you if you have questions about the Experience Mod formula. A lot of these analytics we would deploy in a general liability situation, maybe an auto liability. If you have a fleet and you have drivers, the same process applies. It's just cut a little bit differently, and some of the analytical tools that we use would not be the same. But the methodology would be very, very similar. Do you have any questions? No? All right. So thank you very much. All right.
That's cool, bud. No questions?
Okay.
At 11:30, we're going to serve lunch in room 206, which is down the hall. And we'd like to have everybody in there as soon as possible so that we can stay on schedule for our presentation for just after lunch. So, for saying the thank yous.
I just saw you there. And all that.
Central